continuing in the little sermon series within the series, looking at Jesus' great compassion today. These are just sort of foundational things for us as believers, I think. And it's so easy in our world today to get lost in the weeds on all kinds of stuff and issues. But, you know, when it comes down to it, what's brass tacks? So open your Bibles, would you, to Isaiah 61. This is how Jesus inaugurated his ministry. He quotes this in Luke chapter 4. But think about this. This is how he begins his ministry. He says in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for all those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." That's how Jesus started his ministry. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this beautiful fall weather we're enjoying in the Bitterroot, and for the freedom, again, that we have to worship you without fear of authorities or others, as so many of our believers, fellow believers around the world experience. And Lord, as we think about your great compassion for us and for this world, we pray that we too would be compassionate as you are compassionate. Thank you for your word. Open our eyes, we pray, open our ears to what you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Again, kind of continuing on in the pre-election sermon series, if you have not, if you missed a message or you would like to hear the music of our awesome worship team, it's there, mosaicchurchmt.com. Have a listen. And these topics that I'm talking about, Great Commandment, Great Compassion, next week, the Great Commandment, these have all been thoroughly integrated into the life and vision of Mosaic Church. I call these the three C's. Again, Great Commandment Church, we're called to be, Great Compassion Church, Great Commission Church, and we've talked about all these things over time in the course of Mosaic's existence, but I think that this is a helpful time to be re-reminded as the number of flyers increase in our mailboxes, right? As the rhetoric of hate on all sides continues, how can we stay grounded when we're surrounded by so many half-truths, sometimes even outright lies, circulating in our culture at this time? Again, last week we talked about being a great commandment church, and I have been surprised over time at how many Christians have treated Jesus' words on this most important of his teaching as if it were secondary or even optional. Right? Our Christian, I mean, if you ask the average person on the street or in the world, if you say, how would you describe Christians? Do you think they would say, oh, they're just so loving. They're so kind. It's unbelievable. I just love it. Right? I was glad when I heard in this past year, some of the scuttle around the community was like, when Mosaic's name comes up, several people have said, oh, they give stuff away. Well, for a reason. You know, and it's the compassion of Jesus Christ, right? His great compassion. But I think a lot of times Christians think the great commandment is secondary. Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will love your neighbor just as yourself. That can be tricky depending on your neighbors, right? But it's not just who lives next to you or across the street. It is that. Right? But be encouraged. I mean, sometimes it's easier to love people that we don't know as well than maybe people in our family. You know, we've all got them, right? Sometimes people feel bad about that. It's like, family is family, right? It's just family. You know, you don't have to like everybody, Mama said, but you do got to love them, right? All the law and the prophets stand on this great commandment. Agape self-sacrificial love, apart from any feelings you may have or not have on any given day or week, that's the key mark of a Christian life. right? The world is just rewriting the definition of love for us if we're not careful. But love is, in a Christian sense, is willing the good of another person without any kickbacks. Right? When we give out hams during Christmas or other stuff during the year, you know, again, people always say, what do you want? Do I have to come to your church? It's like, no. No, we just want to love you in Jesus' name. Like, I'm watching you. Because they don't believe it, because that's not the way of the world, is it? Right? If we're living out great commandment love, then great compassion should naturally follow, right? That's the second of the three C's, great compassion. Now, throughout the history of life here at Mosaic Church, we've talked about this quite a bit. We've actually sought to live it out in everything we say and do. And you can see how compassion is naturally vital to any radical loving or giving or forgiving we might do, right? Why? Because we have first experienced the great compassion of God in our own lives through Jesus. And you can see that throughout the life and history of our church. Some of you know these stories, some of you don't. Sometimes it's just good to be reminded of this. Again, the history of this church is a history of God's compassion in our midst, right? Some of you know the story. Remember when some of you are still here from those days. We started the church there at the Elks. Already people were like, wait a minute, what are you guys doing? That's not a church. It's like, well, it was for us for a week, right? We thought we'd be there for a while. The good and kind people at the Elks, I'm grateful for them. They said, well, how about you can meet here for 2 or 3 months. Would $25 a week be too much? And I said, no, I think we can handle that one, right? Pass the hat. We didn't have anything back then. More on that in a second. And we started in a secular fraternal club late January 2017. Now, God's great compassion to us as a church was evident in that first week of life. But as the infomercials say, but wait, there's more, right? Thanking God for his great compassion to us, a couple days later, the former owner of this building, which we also own the next side of Elevate, there are tenants, thankfully. The owner came to us and said, during a time of prayer with his wife, Dawn, and said, you know what, this may sound weird, but God told us in a time of concentrated intercessory prayer that we were supposed to offer you this side for a monthly donation of whatever you could afford. And we couldn't afford nothing at that time, right? And we're like, really? And here's God's great compassion once again, Mark Weyer. And he's still doing that. And then you may also know the story. This is a great one. Our church elder, Greg, about 2 or 3 years before that time, stood here and just sort of mused and said, you know, to Mark, who owned the building at the time, he said, you know, this would be a great place to start a church someday. He had no idea. We hadn't even thought of this. This was a God thing, right? Greg's the first one to always say that God started this church because, you know, we sort of act like we know what we're doing sometimes. But it's really God who's doing the stuff. You can't make this up, right? This was God's great compassion. We have experienced this consistently, regularly, over the 7.5-year life of Mosaic Church. And one of the reasons that we decided on the name, some people have asked us, that's kind of different, right? This is what God's compassionate love has done in our midst and continues to do. If you've ever seen the beautiful mosaics in Europe or elsewhere, or the beautiful stained glass of churches, which we talked about in adult ed today. This is what God does. This is his compassionate work. He takes all the broken pieces of our lives, right? Stuff like, I don't know what to do with this. We've all been there. Some of you are going through it now. But what God does is he takes it and he starts to order it. And he takes the broken pieces and pretty soon he starts to create a beautiful picture, right? That's his compassion in our lives. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. But if there is a single, you could say, glue that holds this church together, and all the church gurus say it shouldn't work, you got too many different people from different places and all this kind of stuff. No, it works. It's the great compassion. that we have experienced in Jesus Christ. And all we're trying to do is give it back away, right? And that's what keeps us united and unified in fresh and vibrant ways. Now, I confess a certain amount of embarrassment. I haven't really always understood the centrality, the importance, the significance of compassion in the Christian life until more recent years. But then again, real and true Christian compassion is not easily come by, is it? That's a process in God, in our lives with God. We've talked about this before. I'm a word guy, but compassion, right? Latin words, cum passio. What does compassion mean? It means to suffer with another person. It means to suffer together. Well, what's the point, Jim? As we've said before, compassion is different from pity, right? Let's make this very clear, right? To pity a person is to feel bad for them, but to keep your distance from them. Ooh, I'm so sorry. That must be really awful. I hope things work out for you. But it's almost as if we get too close to someone's suffering. Their suffering might jump on us, and we might get infected. That's what pity says. The compassion of Jesus Christ says, hey, can I sit down and hear your story? How can I pray for you? Maybe just listen. How about that? As Americans, we always got to say something, you know? No, you don't. Especially at funerals. We've talked about this before. People say the dumbest stuff at funerals because they feel like they got to say it. Don't say anything. Just be there, right? That's so important. Again, compassion is so different from pity, right? But we've all done it, right? Sometimes, you know, you give a homeless person some money or somebody food and then you walk on, because to be compassionate takes time, doesn't it? You might have to sit with that person and hear their story. You're like, oh, I don't have time, or I just don't. Some days you're like, I just don't wanna. I get it, but that's the difference between pity and Christian compassion, I think. Compassion means to become close to one who suffers, right? Now, here's the challenging part. When you come close to someone who's suffering, that can kind of make us feel vulnerable, right? Like, oh, this is stirring up some weird stuff in me. Ooh, I'm not sure I like this. Or, hey, maybe I've never really dealt with this issue in my life. That's God's movement too, right? If we think the Christian life is just happy and whatever, you're missing the point. Becoming a Christian means to become Christ-like. That takes a whole lifetime, doesn't it? That's why this is kind of a school of sanctification. Everybody's in different places, we understand that. But we get to do it together. That's part of the point of compassion. You can't have compassion on a person by doing this, right? This is so important, I think, as we talk about this. That's what God does to us through Jesus Christ. Christian author Henry Nouwen, I've enjoyed his writing over the years, he said this, a compassionate person says this, I'm your brother, I'm your sister, I'm also human, fragile, mortal, just like you. I am not embarrassed or scandalized by your tears. That does not bother me. I'm not afraid of your pain. You know why? Because I've cried and felt pain too, right? That's why we've emphasized certain books. I have extras, but if you'd like to go deeper in this idea of Christian compassion, here's copies here. Oh, and we've done this study. Here's your image of compassion, Mother Teresa. If you've never read Mother Teresa, you got to check this out. Take them after church. It's free. We've got more in the back there. But these are just resources to help us think and pray through this. We are able to demonstrate compassion to another person only when that person becomes something different than the other person. When they become a real person sort of in our lives. When we realize they're just like us. You know, Christians, sometimes church is like, well, there's the saved and the unsaved. There's the, you know, the redeemed and the unredeemed. And oh, we're not like those people. I'm sorry, didn't that just sound like the Pharisee? I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. Unlike them, I give 10% of this and that. And Jesus said, you know who went away justified after the prayer time? It was the dirty tax collector, not the religious Pharisee. And when you say that in many churches, people get mad. because they're professional Christians. I've been saved since I was 8 years old. You know, and there's often this inflection, or they really get old. It's like, you know, I've been saved 75 years. It's like, yeah, what has God done in the last 74, you crotchety wretch? But that's not very compassionate, is it? See, I've got to pray too. We all do. It's all in process. That's what I'm saying, right? It's easier to show pity than compassion, you know, because again, a person who's suffering reminds us of our own suffering, right? But you got to walk through it. You're not supposed to bury it or walk away from it. I get it. Sometimes we're just sort of surviving in certain situations. That's where the church is such a blessing. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You got to give it away. You got to give it away. Right? Isn't that what Anthony Kiedis says in the Red Hot Chili song? Yeah. Right? Give it away. Yeah, now you know. And you know what? He wrote that song after, when he was really poor, a compassionate woman gave him a coat when he was cold. There's a story behind everything, isn't there? But we've got to take the time. Are we willing to take the time? Now it says this, there is much grief and pain to our lives, but what a blessing it is when we do not have to live our grief and pain alone. That's the gift of compassion. You know, it's true, we do live in a rather godless society that has taught most of us that brokenness is shameful and should be hidden. I bet most of you have a story like that. It's like, oh, I can't talk about that. That would be embarrassing, or, you know, What might other people think of me? Oh, that's dangerous in the Christian life too, right? I always crack up because this, you know, in churches in five states and whatever, sometimes I go outside before church or whatever just because I'm a child. And, you know, it's like the young parents or whatever, and you better be good in church, and I don't want you cutting up and, you know, whatever. And then they walk through the door and they're like, good morning. Good morning. It's like, man, spiritual warfare, if you've got little kids, always happens Sunday morning, right before service, right? Well, how come this one day a week you can't find your shoes? What do you mean you can't find your shoes? Why is there a meltdown on aisle 7? You know, it happens. You know, Satan knows what he's doing. He's been doing this a while, right? But compassion is so important, right? It is a gift, right? Sometimes we wonder if anyone would love me if they really knew what was going on inside of me. Have you ever felt that? Right? You mean, how many times have you heard people say, yeah, I can't go to church. I gotta fix some things in my life. Have you ever heard that? It's like, you don't get clean without going to the bath or the shower, right? That's what this place is, right? It's not a museum. It's a MASH unit. Believe me, some weeks it's like, yeah, it's MASH and clingers cross-dressing and everybody's doing crazy stuff and, oh, my. But I digress as usual, right? So we love to be in control, and yet the reality is when you're a Christian, you relinquish control to Jesus, right? Where it should be anyway. And I know some days it doesn't, you don't feel it, I get that, but we live by faith, not by feelings, right? And I know it's sometimes easy to say that. I get that. But, you know, if we're always trying to control things, weird stuff happens, right? Some people become slaves to appearances. You know, oh, so-and-so's a fine Christian young person. Oh, they have it all together. I'm like, maybe, probably not. But I'm, you know, not trying to jinx anything. Or we become slaves to various fashions or whatever helps us to fit into the crowd. Remember that growing up? I don't want to stick out in school, right? And then there are some people that want to, right? And they get berated or beat up, maybe. That still happens right today, even with the anti-bullying campaigns. Man, when I went to school, it was beat down. It's like anti-bully. What does that even mean? You just run, right? Or you learn to fight, or I don't know, go invisible. I don't know. I'm not, we should not be bullying children. Don't get me wrong here. But we love to be in control, right? And when we try and fit in the crowd, or when we try and do the fashion or the stuff or whatever. One day we wake up and look in the mirror and we don't even know what we're looking at. Who are you? Wasn't that a scene from the Wolf of Wall Street when he finally says he thought he had everything in the world? And he's like, who are you? Oh, that's a dangerous thing. But it's also a moment when Jesus can break through, right? The ones who can truly best understand our brokenness are those who have felt brokenness, right? That's why I love when people go through really hard stuff, it's a no-brainer that sooner or later they start ministering to people with that same struggle, right? In wonderful, specialized ways because they've been through it, right? If we're just moving, stuff around the room or whatever, it makes sense in our society. We love new stuff and whatever. Well, if that's our modus operandi, no wonder we don't value our elderly or our seniors anymore. Well, because they can't keep up, right? And they're not producing stuff, and they like to tell old stories, and beginning to find they forget stuff, and they tell you the same story again and again and again. You know that? How about be compassionate? You might learn something. How about I'm speaking to myself this morning. Have you noticed the trend in the West where we don't even try and fix anything anymore? We just throw it out and get some. This is actually an industry thing now. It's called, planned obsolescence. Therefore, it doesn't last as long. Therefore, you got to buy something else, and you just keep this machine going, right? I saw a meme on Facebook, and it was funny because it was, remember that old gold fridge we had from the early 80s, late 70s? It's in my garage now because we got newer stuff. I bet that'll break and we'll have to bring it back. It's like I saw a meme on Facebook, the old gold fridge from the late 70s, early 80s. It said, I am immortal. I cannot die. I'm like, that's about right. But we got nice stuff and ooh, I like the water and the ice and wow, and I don't like having to pay for the service call. But that old thing was just right there. It was like a relationship that's a rock in your life. If you got those, don't mess them up. Don't mess them up, right? That's really good stuff. I bet you that thing will come back. Well, the fridge died. Okay, bring out the gold one again. Yeah, we loved it. That's the way our society is. But if we're always, if we're not willing to fix anything or work through it, and we're just throwing stuff out and getting new stuff, couldn't that be a dangerous attitude for the follower of Jesus? Wouldn't that have implications for relationships or choices in your life? That person's a pain in my neck. I'm not around them no more. Or people just get rid of relationships. They dump them, right? For a variety of reasons, right? Are people disposable? Not in God's eyes, right? Didn't Christ come for the lost and the broken? Didn't he show compassion to hungry crowds, blind men, and women engaged in prostitution? I'd never be seen around those people. I mean, I just started laughing. When we started this church, there were some people in the community said, oh, that's nice. The community needs a church for people like that. Good job, Jim. Socrates said, speak so that I may see you. There it is. It's like, okay. Didn't Jesus begin his public ministry? Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's appointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and a day of vengeance for our God. I think that's our calling too. If it was Jesus's calling, it's ours to bind up the brokenhearted. How about that, right? To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, gladness instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. That's what we get to be, people. Who's in? That's the kind of church and Christian I want to be. And I think that's what you want as well. Radical compassion means that we've also have suffered greatly in our lives. Now we can walk with those who suffer, who are broken and hurting, and because Jesus continues to do that today, right? That's what he does. That's what he does. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, some people say I'm cheap. I mean, I do try and fix stuff. I'm not trained in that, but I've learned to use super glue. Super glue is my friend. Some of you actually have skills. Duct tape, praise God for duct tape. You can do so much with super glue and duct tape. It's like, yeah, you are a guy. You know, but have you ever tried to fix something that's broken, like a cup or a dish? I was cooking a few weeks ago, and my wife has this Polish butter dish. It's beautiful. And I dropped a pot on it. I was like, I'm trying to hide it so she can't find it. The woman's going to find it, right? And, I see you chipped my butter dish. You know, when observations are not just observations, and I'm like, I went to the store and I got some super glue. And you know what? It almost looks perfect. You know, that'll... Yeah. You know, when we want to be mean, sometimes I know someday the day is coming when she's going to be mad at me for something dumb I did, and she's going to be buttering her toast, like, and she's going to say, well, you almost fixed the butter dish. Like my old man, you missed a spot. Remember that? Get off my grass, kids. But I digress. I've shared this before. I love this. I found this out a few years ago, and I've shared this before, but this is a practice, having just been in Japan, I noticed this too. We've talked about the Japanese art of kintsugi. This is pretty cool. You know, when we try and fix things, we're trying to fix them so they look like they've never been broken in the first place. I was surprised that this is an art form that's been used in Japan for centuries. So when a piece of pottery or whatever is broken, instead of trying to repair it so you can't tell it's ever been broken, sometimes they'll mix like gold dust or silver dust and glue, and then they'll fix it, and it's obvious that it was broken, right? I mean, there are some things in our life that, even if you wanted to, you probably shouldn't, that you can't completely fix, right? That's life in this world. But it can be really beautiful if you want, right? Some really hard things. Look at these. I mean, these are just, this is pottery. Those are nice pottery thingies, ceramics. What's the word? Again, I can't do that. But I can glue stuff together, and that's beautiful. So you see the seams, as it were. You see where it was broken. And that's what God really does in our lives, I think, like this Japanese art form. It's visually stunning, right? Highlights the beauty of things that have been broken, but are now whole and even useful again. That's what God can do in our lives. And some of you know that, but some of you are going through hard stuff right now and it doesn't feel like it. But this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just want to encourage you this morning, right? What a picture of what God does for us in Jesus, right? The Bible talks about God, one of his images is the master potter, right? That's a cool image, right? He gathers the broken pieces of our lives, and Jesus reassembles us with beautiful gold and silver seams that highlight his saving power, right? What a witness, right? Well, I don't know how to, you know, share the gospel message with people. I'm not good with words. Let your life show it, right? I mean, we talked about a little bit about Middle Ages and St. Francis today in adult ed. That's a fun time. I love that class. But what is God doing? How is he bringing you back together or people in your life? Can you see that? What is the potter doing in your life? And when he brings us back together, we become what Henry Nouwen calls wounded healers. I once had a Christian guy. I said, you know what? I think God has called me to be a wounded healer. And I had one prominent church person say, no, we don't want wounded healers, we want healed healers. And I'm like, you just missed it, dummy. You just missed the whole point. See, it's that very, very I didn't actually call him dummy, but I was thinking that. Right? This is a beautiful and a high calling. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Why? So that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Whoa, really? One of the greatest fruits of lives that have been broken on the wheels of this fallen world is when Jesus beautifully puts things back together. It's a beautiful mosaic, a stained glass, as we've said, gives a powerful testimony to this world and gives glory to God. And then from the suffering that's been offered back to Jesus comes a radical compassion, right? That we can supernaturally walk with people who are suffering. A powerful community of wounded healers is formed. The truth of a verse we love at Mosaic, remember Acts 20:35? This becomes true, this becomes reality. It's more blessed to give than receive. When you start experiencing this, ooh, you are on your way as a Christian, right? What a powerful witness that is, right? That's why I love, it's like, that church just gives stuff away. Well, that's a start, right? Or Janie has branded our Halloween outreach as Candy Palooza. I kind of like that, Candy Palooza. Yeah, we spend a lot on candy, and they come through and the parents say, you give out the best stuff. And I'm like, on purpose. Well, that's such a waste, right? Is it? I mean, if I'm gonna be worldly, we get great advertising from it, right? We like to double dip, we're Americans, right? And they give out the best stuff. And they know we're here. And they check out Carol's window dressing. And they stop and look and, what are you doing? I mean, we can use all of this kind of stuff for kingdom purposes. And so if radical compassion is one of the greatest glues for continued life and ministry here at Mosaic Church, then we can say, as Paul said, again, 2 Corinthians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the Father of all compassion. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that, for this reason, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, into our daily lives, so also Christ, the comfort flows back in. Now, you may have noticed I've eliminated my normal course of juvenile jokes today, kind of on purpose so that I could really kind of jump into this. But I want to leave you with an illustration, just an illustration of great compassion over time. And I'm always careful with this because I want to protect dignity and things like that in our community, but we love to be compassionate. I've shared the first part of this story, but this is one of my favorite great compassion stories at Mosaic. When we first started this church, early on, we decided we were gonna take extra potluck food and goodies to the Rainbow Bar. That's what we decided. And you would be shocked at how many people and Christian people in our community have looked at me like I had two heads. Why are you taking food to the drunks? That doesn't make sense. Aren't you a pastor? It's like, yeah, and we decided to do that. But it's the pushback I get isn't from the unsaved. It's from Christians. Oh, we would never do that. You should, right? That'll get you in trouble with Christians, especially Pharisees. But anyway, well over 7 years ago, remember, I've shared this with you, I took a plate of Valentine's Day cookies to the Rainbow and gave it to one of the female bartenders. And she was really touched. I mean, this sort of made my day, well, made my month, I think. And she just threw it out there. And she said, remember, she said, thank you, dude, you are effing awesome. And I said, so are you. And she said, who are you? And I said, well, I'm Pastor Jim from Mosaic Church around the corner. And she did this. It looked like the Home Alone thing. you know. I said, it's okay. Have a great night. God bless you. Unconventional? Unfortunately, yes, in many churches. That should just be normal operating procedure. Something loving and compassionate that we think Jesus himself would do? You bet. You bet. Right? Love is creative unto infinity, DePaul said that. Love is creative unto infinity. It's like, love and do what you will. If you are loving in a Christian, godly sort of way, man, the world opens up. The lanes open up and crazy, awesome stuff can happen, right? Well, over time, we've been able to minister a little bit to this particular lady in different times, especially with health issues, right? We love to help in benevolent sorts of ways there. And with other people. I remember, Carol remembers this, when this lady was getting a surgery, this was a while back, she was asked, would you like a chaplain to come and visit you? And she said, no, I don't want any religious people around me, but I would take Jim and Carol from Mosaic. Yeah. Opportunity, you bet. But just planting seeds of Jesus's compassion, right? That encouraged. Recently, this lady had another hospitalization. You know, working folk, when they're sick, they don't make money. They lose money. And if there's kids to feed or mouths, you know, to feed or whatever, they can get in a bind real quick. Guess what we get to do with a few dollars? It's not even a huge amount. It's like, here's your wages for the week. God bless you. Really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done creative things like one time a single mom didn't have, had to have a tooth worked on or something. She didn't have the money and it was just getting worse and worse. We said, I think it was for $250, go get it fixed, here you go. And she was like, amazing, not a Christian woman, by the way. Just what we get to do. Love doing that, great compassion stuff, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Again, when you get a taste of that, it is infectious in a good way. C.S. Lewis said, you know what Christianity is? It's a good addiction. It's a good infection. When it starts infecting you, things change. Well, we got to help this lady again recently. And just a little example of the kind of great compassion that you as a church, Mosaic Church, get to be. I love, love, love that you all believe in our community outreach. Benevolence Ministries here at Mosaic. I love the fact that we've gotten to show the compassion of Jesus to countless people here in Ravalli County. We get to do this, right? Whether it be opening the church to community groups for free, well, how much are you going to charge us? Nothing. God gave us this building, and we get to give it away, you know, as we pray through that. Hosting recovery meetings in recent days. I love this. We just got our second NA meeting. If you know someone in the grips of addiction, we've got ministries here. AA, NA, I love it. Right? If the Christian gospel is not an invitation to life and freedom, what is it? I don't want to be a part of it. I mean, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, there's a lot of churches like that. They're dying for a reason because there's no life, right? Wow, right? We get to minister to single moms, care for the hurting, giving canned goods to Haven House. We took some more there this past week. They love us there because the needs are growing in our community. Supporting our youth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God has, is, and will be honored by practical human compassion. Why? Because we first experienced the great compassion of Jesus in our own lives. And so in short, Mosaic Church has been, is, and will always be radically compassionate with the great compassion of Jesus. Amen. It's the second great C, God's great compassion. We receive it and we give it away. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you that we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus, that we get to put feet on our faith, as it were. And how much fun that really is to love and minister on people. And Lord, we just pray that you would provide for every need, Lord, so that we might be free to do this work even more so. Thank you for each one here at where they are at in their own spiritual lives. Thank you for this church family that we have. It's not just a community, it's a family. And thank you for all the ways, the creative ways that we can minister and try different things and work out the great compassionate of Jesus in our community. Lord, thank you for this day. Send us forth in your peace and on mission, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.